who will join me in John. John 3. And we've been pursuing to understand when Jesus says in the Great Commission to go and teach them according to what he has taught us, according to his commands that we find in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, specifically in 20 there. We've been going and looking at the examples of Jesus Christ and looking at his teachings in his life. But today we look specifically at something that is about Jesus and is a discussion that and an example that we find from John the Baptist. So we've been moving through John 3 these last 3 weeks and looking at that passage. And today we look specifically at verses 22 through 36. If you remember where we were last week, the last couple of weeks, Jesus was in a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And then Jesus, now he has left that conversation. We've explored that over 3 weeks, and so now his disciples and then they continue their journey through towards Samaria, but here they find a place where they're baptizing. And let's read. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Father, we are thankful for your word. Lord, open up our hearts, our minds, Lord, your anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to understand, to read, to teach, to live your holy word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then in verse 22, it says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea. And there he was spending time with them and baptizing. John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim because there was much water there. And people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of the Jews, of John's disciples, with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, of that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. So here we see that now Jesus has moved on from this conversation. He's moving throughout Judea. And they've come into a place where there's obviously a lot of water. And Jesus and his disciples, he has yet to call all of the disciples, the 12 that we know. But there's a few disciples that he has there. And so now we have two teams baptizing. We have John the Baptist and his crew that are baptizing. And then Jesus and his disciples are baptizing also. And then there is this conflict in the camp that arose from this discussion, one of purification. And the problem is that Jesus is baptizing now and more people are going to him. And so instead of, you know, notice that John's response wasn't to lose his cool. His response was not to grow frustrated. I've given my whole life to this baptism business and now Jesus is going to come and take away all my people. He did not create plans to create a new program to start attracting people. what he had was a kingdom perspective. He knew Jesus. He knew what he was called to do. He knew the Lord. He knew the plan. He knew, and we know also from the things that we have read throughout scriptures up to this point so far, that he had a purpose, and that was to prepare the way of the Lord. And so today we're talking about a kingdom perspective, and how do we attain that, and how do we have that, what John the Baptist here, this point of view. That's what perspective means. It's a point of view. It's a mental view. We could also call it the mind of Christ. Things and the ideas that we have that are based on our knowledge of the kingdom of God and on the word of God, and not on our emotions, not on our feelings. And if we always acted on the way that we felt, then we would have more issues like we find here in the scripture. There was a discussion. There was a conflict. There arose a problem. And what do we know? We come at it from the point of view of kingdom perspective. I don't know, and Scott, if just as we can, before we get into it a little bit further, I'm feeding back a little bit. I don't know if the front row can hear it or if y'all can hear it, but I'm feeding back really good out of the monitors. And it's just, and I don't know if it's distracting to them. But I'll continue on. But attaining kingdom perspective requires, first, what we see is the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, what do we know about John? We know he has a special calling. And if you're following along with our outline right now, the first is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what we know about John is he has a special calling, and he had a special presence of the Holy Spirit. And during Christmas, when we were looking at Mary, and she went to meet John's mother, and while John was in the womb, and then Mary came and spoke the words, we know that that the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was still in the womb, and did what maybe a mother would think was a dance in there. She was like, "Whoa, you know, my child in the Holy Spirit." And so here we know that Jesus and John are among the only humans at this time to truly have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had yet to come in a way that we know the Holy Spirit now. And of course, we know their parents also had some dealings with the Holy Spirit. But here, it is impossible. We've learned over the last 3 weeks, as we've studied the earlier parts of this chapter, it is impossible to have a kingdom perspective outside of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus back in verse 3 of the same chapter, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see." And we remember we studied that word. He cannot perceive the kingdom of God. We must be born again, a place of salvation, in order to gain this, first, the Holy Spirit, and to have a perspective of what the kingdom is really about, and a perspective of how that kingdom is realized and lived out in our lives. So a question here that arises, how do we plug into the Holy Spirit? I just kind of answered that through belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we saw in verse 34 of what we just read that Jesus gives the Spirit without measure. So we see we have to have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Next, the personal submission and humility. John the Baptist, isn't he just he's a great example of being a humble man. His life was all about Jesus Christ. And so often we can get caught up in our success and whatever that looks like to us, our goals, our life goals, our ideas of whatever life ought to be, even in our ministries, even in our churches, if we could just obtain this. But the reality, if we can just humble ourselves and submit ourselves to where we pursue Jesus Christ and we pursue the kingdom, as we see in Matthew 6:33, and we pursue God above all things, then everything comes into place. And in order to have a kingdom perspective, we have to have a personal submission to the Word of God, to the things that we know of God, and the things that the Holy Spirit puts in our lives. And often that requires us to be humble. What we looked at on Sunday, or Wednesday, forgive me, James 4:6, it says that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so there is a God's own desires for us to be humble people. And that doesn't mean that pride will not rise up. pride will rise up. We will get fired up, and we will think, man, he's baptizing more people than me, or they're doing this, or they're doing that. They got this promotion. They got that promotion. Look what they're getting down the street. Look at what they're doing. Can you believe them? Or whatever it may be. But that kingdom perspective that begins with the Holy Spirit being in us says, it's okay. Remember my word. Remember me. Seek me first in these things. And it leads us to respond just as John the Baptist did to this. I really like that part where we just read where he gave the example of the bridegroom and the best man. And we'll tell you, one of the things that we know that we struggle with within our culture is sometimes envy of somebody. Maybe they got a new car, a new house, a new job, new whatever. And there's that part of just like, oh, I've been working hard, whatever. And one of the best things is say, no, good for you. I am happy for you. And we see that example where of just humility and encouraging and being happy for other people. That's not common in our culture. You know what? Our scripture talks often about death to self. We've read scriptures about becoming new creations. We've read scriptures about being made alive in Christ. Today, we're going to be having a baptism, and if we'll look at Romans 6, verses 4 through 7. It talks about, for those of us who have come to a place of salvation, it gives this example. In Romans 6, verses 4 through 7, it says, therefore, we have been, I'm going to back up to 3. Or do you not know, I hear pages turning, I'll wait, I'm sorry. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And it says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. It says, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. There's a humility that comes from knowing who we are, from the presence of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of God's word and the realization of what Jesus Christ has done for us and who he is to us, that brings us to a place of humble submission of saying, Lord, here I am. I've died to that. It doesn't mean that we no longer struggle with it. But Lord, but when it does come up, Lord, you know what I'm struggling with. I confess that before you. Lord, your Holy Spirit, your Holy Word, it says this. Lord, help me in this. But, you know, if we're living in counterfeit or defeated Christian life, it's oftentimes because we're pursuing things in our life and looking to be fulfilled with things in life that have nothing to do with the Word of God. We find and we've read often about everything in heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will live forever. And again, just what I've just mentioned before, that God is opposed to the proud. What are you pursuing? What is welling up inside you? What is it that we struggle with? Oh, confess it to him. And because he says, the word says that he gives grace to the humble. To obtain kingdom perspective, we have to get our eyes on Jesus Christ. And so many things in this world, in our life, in our own ideas, in our own mind, in our own heart, can limit that vision. And oftentimes, they're good things. They really are good things. Have you ever heard the statement before that the enemy of great is what? Good. That good is the enemy of great. Sometimes we have to come to the place and lay down the good things so that God can do the great things in our life. So, friend, what clouds your perspective today? What clouds your perspective? Let's read Hebrews 12, if you'll join me there. Hebrews 12, we're going to be in verses 1 through 3. It's an idea from the things that we struggle with, that we all struggle with. They may be different, but the purpose in the heart is the same. Therefore, since we're flipping pages. I love it that y'all are flipping pages. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Oh, what do we see in there? Remove the encumbrance. What does that mean? That means the things that entangle us, that are in our life. What are the, you know, as we come and we worship and we look at different things and we read the Word of God, we're like, oh, if I could make a list, this is a goal, this goal, this goal. I have a spiritual goals, but then you get into the real life and you got this, you got work, you got family, you got so many responsibilities, you got hobbies, you got things that people are pulling on you, and next thing you know, you find yourself tangled in life and sometimes in sin. But it says, remove those things, confess those things, prioritize your life on the things of Christ. And it tells us to run with endurance. And when you run with endurance, it's not always a sprint, but it is always moving forward. And we do that by fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, is what we just read here. To get a kingdom perspective, I mean, that just kind of makes sense. Kingdom perspective, fix your eyes on the King. Lord, this is my day. This is my life. This is my... Lord, what does your word say about this? And then consider Jesus and be motivated by him in this. And then our final point today, to gain a kingdom perspective requires... And maybe this doesn't... It does. It requires is a good word for this. But the proclamation of Jesus Christ... You can't be have a kingdom perspective and leave the King out of it. The King must be a part of that. And look at John the Baptist's words about Jesus. I know he just read this, but I want to read it again from John 3, 31. We won't read the whole thing, but 31 through 36. So here John, he's been confronted with this conflict, and he just said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He's humbled himself in the midst of this, and he has submitted to the greatness of God, and he knows the work of Christ. And then he says these things about Christ. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one received his testimony. He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Oh, we see this above all. We've learned when we study the Bible, when we see that something that we're talking about Jesus being above all, and it said it twice right there so close together, what does that mean? That he means he's above our life. He's above our ideas. He's above our thoughts. He's above our goals. He's above our church, and he's above our country, and he's above our world. He is the great creator, and whenever we gain a kingdom perspective, it will always, always proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That should be happening in the way we live our lives, behind closed doors, in dark places, as we go into the workplace, throughout the neighborhood. With that kingdom perspective, there should be something different in us all the time, and it's not anything that we can manufacture. It is only through gaining that kingdom perspective and seeking the Lord and humbling ourselves in such a way to where our lives, our words, our deeds, every part of it proclaims Jesus Christ. I tell you, if the Holy Spirit is in us, that's what we've studied in the other parts of John 3 over the last couple of weeks. And our first point, if the presence of the Holy Spirit is in us. His sole purpose, he is our counselor, he is our advocate, he is our teacher, he is our presence, he is our helper, but his goal isn't about helping us achieve, his goal is about glorifying Jesus Christ. And so whatever he counsels us in, however he helps us, however he intercedes for us, it will always be for carrying out the will of God, and the will of God will always point to Jesus Christ. And so if the Holy Spirit is in us, we should be a people, too, that are growing in our perspective, that are growing by season to season, from strength to strength, to glory, and however that looks in our life. The big idea today, as we come to a conclusion, it's the scripture, just kind of tweaked a little bit. Jesus must increase, but we must decrease. Jesus must increase, and we must decrease. So, friend, I ask today, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? And maybe you're thinking, well, he is my Savior. I do believe. But is he the Lord of your life? Does he lead you in your discussions? When you wake up in the morning, is there an awareness of of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, and God the Father that is always there? Is there an understanding of Lord, here I am, good morning, Lord, what do you have for me today? Lord, these are my plans. I do have to go to work, and these are and Lord, lead me in these things today. Maybe you have major decisions, but friend, where is your heart today when it comes to Jesus Christ? Is he a Sunday thing? Is he a Wednesday thing? Or is he an everyday thing? Can you endure through such temptations that often our own self and our own world will bring, and find the kingdom perspective in all of your life situations? Again, a kingdom perspective. It starts with you believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then it goes on to being filled with the Holy Spirit and then living in obedience to God in every part of your life. Every part of your life. And then when the Holy Spirit, he works in you individually. He works in your home. He works in your marriages. He works in your church. And then as he works in our church, it begins to affect our community. And he eventually changes the world in some way. Closing words as Josh is coming, wherever Josh may be. There he is, right in front of me. Friend, are you struggling? Are you struggling in your walk? Maybe you've been saved for so many years. Maybe you've been saved for only a few days. Maybe you've been saved for months or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. But are you struggling in maintaining a kingdom perspective in your life? Maybe you're paralyzed. And what do I mean by paralyzed? You're so frustrated with different things in the world. Maybe you're so frustrated with yourself that you just cannot move forward in the things of God. Friend, to get over whatever is paralyzing you, you got to be found faithful in the things that you know God wants you to do. If you're paralyzed, you can't come up with a decision on something, or you're struggling with something else, as I think it's Romans 14 talks about, where as far as you are concerned, are you doing the right thing? Are you being obedient to that which you know God wants you to do? And your perspective will never override God's perspective. And if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, if you can't find perspective in whatever your life situation is, are you willing to humble yourself and submit yourself to seeking God like never before? And not just, oh, okay, I did that once. No, you seek him until you find him. And he would never, ever let you down if you seek him with the right motives and in the right ways. We find that in scripture. Friend, it starts with humbling yourself and submitting to God daily. Daily. Here I am as a man, as a husband, as a father, as an under-shepherd, as whatever your role might be in life. And Father, I submit and surrender those things to you. It's a part of seeking him first each and every day. You know, it really comes to living a life of worship. That's what it boils down to. Gaining this kingdom perspective is a result of living a life of worship. Does that mean in song with a band and all this? No, it's being obedient to God in every situation. And in the most difficult situations, it's finding a song when you don't feel like singing and living according to that. when we do, the focus on ourselves decreases, and the focus on Jesus, it increases. And in that, we grow in kingdom perspective.